afford to pay for something.
Excitement time. Here we go. Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel Perek Yud Gimel Halach Aleph, Chapter 13, Law 1. This is the last chapter. We've talked about all the different types of land and the houses and fields, but we haven't talked about Shevet Levi. So we're going to first do for the first about six or seven halachas or so is discuss where they live and the nature of the homes and the fields that they have. That's the first thing that has to be discussed. Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, and that includes Kohanim in Shevet Levi. Afal pi she'elam chelek pa'aretz, even though they have no portion, a tribal portion, land of Israel. Kfar nitztavu, the Torah already commanded Yisrael, litelem orim l'sheves umigrishem. The Jewish people have to give them cities, to live in. And migrishem. Migrishem, we'll call that surrounding open areas around the city. Because they gotta give them a city where they build homes. And then around that is a migrish, and we'll discuss that in a moment. Veha'arim, how many cities did they get? Sheish Ori Miklot, six primary cities of refuge. Va'aleim, and on top of that, Arboim, Shtaim Varboim Ir, 42 more Levite cities that also function as cities of refuge. And listen to this, guys. Ukishemosivin Ori Miklot Acheres V'yam Mashiach, and when you add other Ira Miklots in the times of Mashiach, Hakol Levim, it'll all be for Levim. It's all learned out from the various Psukim Gora learns that. Of course, it's a very difficult concept at all to understand. Because in times of Mashiach, why would people be killing inadvertently? People shouldn't be dying because of murder. But that's another discussion for another time. We'll ask Elio when he comes. We'll ask Elio. What do you say? Yeah.
Maybe the stages.
Well, I don't know. It seems...
Is that Earl? Well, that's the other Elio.
He's saying, you know, when it's... B'mei HaMashiach, Sam HaMashiach, it doesn't seem that, you know. Anyway, base. Migrishe Ha'arim, these surrounding open areas around the cities. Kfarnis Farsh B'Torah, it's explained in the Torah. You see, there's two conflicting psukim, and how we resolve the conflicting psukim, so Rambam says is, they don't conflict, one adds on to the other, as you'll see. Shame, it comes according to the Rambam's opinion, Shem Shloshes Alofim Ama L'chol Riuach Mekira Irvachutza. It's 3,000 amas radius going out in every direction from the boundary of the city. Okay? In other words, if the city, let's say, this book is the city. Okay? So going 3,000 amas in every way around the city. Okay? 3,000 amas surrounding it. How do we know this? Shenemar, it says, Mikir ha'ir, from the wall of the city, v'chutza, beyond the city, elef amah, saviv, 1,000 amahs around. Well, that's 1,000. What about the other 2,000? Ulahalon omer, and then a little bit later on, the next pasuk it says, umatosea michitzah, the measurements outside the city, es pa'as kedma, on the eastern side, alpaim bama, is 2,000 amahs. And on every one of the four directions, it says 2,000 amahs. It's a contradiction. You just said 1,000, now you're saying 2,000. So Rambam learns, no, we add one to the other. But they're two different types of surrounding areas. And what's that? Elef HaRishonim, the first 1,000, that's the nearest to the city, that's a migrash. That's an open area, like a park or something like that, that has no particular use. In other words, it's to beautify the city, just like you have parks in Thornhill, right? So you have parks and open areas, and there's no use for it. It's meant to stay open, and people can enjoy the pleasant beauty over there.
Residential, recreational activity.
Things like that. There's no planting. There's no homes. There's no trees. It's to beautify it. It should have a good air, etc.
So that's
the first 1,000. Now, v'alpayim shmona chusimus, and the next 2,000 goes beyond. The sadas of kramim is for fields and vineyards that can be used for that. So that's the next 2,000. It's an open area, but there's no homes over there. And that's so obviously the recreational area has to be closer, and that way people won't be traveling through the vineyards and destroying them, because that's on the furthest end. So that's the way the city would look. You have the city, then 1,000 amas around is parks and recs. And 2,000 beyond that is vineyards and fields, etc. Okay. Now, there's other things we need to do. Gimel. Vinos in the whole year, and every city gets a beis hakfaras, a cemetery. Chutz l'tchumza, beyond that 3,000 amis, she'en kovrin meisem l'tchumarem. Because you cannot bury the dead in the tchum, in the boundaries, and that shouldn't be litchum, it should be bitchum, as the comments say, in the tchum. Shenemar says, u'megrishem yiyup, these open-ended areas, the Torah says should be, livhemtem for your animals, u'lechushem, and for their wealth and possessions, u'lechol chayosom, and all living entities. Ah, l'chaim, they're given for living things, l'lekfura, and not for burial. And obviously, there's Kohanim in the city, so you'd want this to go way beyond where any Kohanim would be. Now, it's interesting. The commentators say, but what about a guy who was a killer who went to this as an Ir HaMiklat? There, they bury him in the Ir HaMiklat. Why?
He can't go out.
He can't go out. Even if he's dead, he can't go out.
Right, because you got to be buried in the
city.
He
buried
there is
in the
city. If he's dead.
Doesn't matter. He stays there. That's part of the tikkun. He has to be buried in that city. He cannot be unearthed, as it were, till after the Kohen Gadol dies.
So when the Kohen Gadol dies, they can be reinterred?
Yes, to the tribal burial grounds. Okay? That's part of the exile that he's in his lifetime and beyond his lifetime. Okay. To visit?
Yeah.
And why anybody can visit? No?
Yeah.
Except people want to kill him. Right now, the what do you call it? The bylaws of these cities are very strict. And in Osim Bar Elavim, you can't make in these Levite cities, okay, here, the part that's designated as city, residential area, you can't turn that into a migrash, into an open-ended area, and the reverse. Well, migrash, you can't make an open-ended area here into a city, residential area. Below Migrash, and now the Migrash, that's supposed to be the parks and recs, you can't make it sort of into a field where you're planting things, and the reverse. Below set of Migrash, you can't make a field into parks and recs. Shenemar, because through the Psukim it says, Usadeh, it's the fields of, a Migrash, an open area, or Reyam and Sidis Lohimachah, you don't sell them. And since they delineate them as three separate categories, they are to remain as separate categories as such. Now, now, what if you do it? What if the city passed the bylaw, changed the bylaws, and did that? That's an Avera, right? But they would not get lashed for it. Why? Because you just will undo what they did. Remember, lash is when you do something that's irrevocable. So if they changed the bylaws, the Sanhedrin were fine about it. They sent them a nasty letter. And say, you're going to change, we don't recognize this, and it's going back to the way it was before you changed it. So effectively, they can't do it. Even if they do it, they didn't do it. That's why you would not get lashed for it. Interestingly, though, this is only a rule in these Levite cities, the commentaries say. But in a regular Israelite city, you can change whatever you want, all these things, because even though it would be nice to have these things in a certain way, but it's up to the city how they want to make the layout of the land. Okay, hey, umepia shmua, and now from tradition, lomdu shezeh shenemar. Now remember, we said lo imocher, you cannot. One from the pasuk, you cannot sell. We now question is, how did the Rambam know this in halacha dalet? So halacha hey follows it up. Halacha hey goes a little bit further. It said usadei migashem lo imocher. So really, the proof wasn't a good proof. You should have asked me. Proof wasn't yet finished. Halacha Hey is finishing the proof of the pasuk, and now he explains. The rabbis explain when the Torah ends off, it says the field, the open areas in the city, so you cannot sell them. The rabbis translate the word lo yimacher to mean lo yeshuna. You can't change it from its delineation. That's how they learn it from whatever drasha they have, and that's how we know you can't do it. Ela hasadav amigash va'ir, but the fields, the open areas, and the city residential. Kol echad mishloshim, all three, kamoshu l'olam, have to be, they are forever. That's what it means. You should not change it, as opposed to you shall not sell it. Technically, this is the end of halacha hey. The commentaries say, really, halacha vov should begin with the next four words, because otherwise it won't make any sense. because we already said Jewish cities can't change the delineation. So if you'd read the next four words, it wouldn't make any sense. I don't know how your English commentary will say it, but really what he's going to say, the next four words at the end of Hey really is the beginning of Vav, and you'll see there's a similarity of Jewish cities to Levite cities, but not in this area, but in another area.
That's what they say.
And so we have certain similarities in a regular Jewish city, which now go on to what I have as Vav, which is Lo Yistor Adam Es Beiso. A person cannot knock down his house in a city, Lasos Gina, to make a garden, Lo Yita Charvaso Gina, he can't plant in his ruin a garden. Why? So Yachriv Eretz Yisrael, because we're not allowed to destroy Eretz Yisrael, meaning to say destroy apartment dwellings, housing units that is there. So that's the similarity. Now the clear all three area that has to stay clearly three separate areas, that's only the Levite cities. Israelite cities, we can change a lot of things. But one thing is in common with the Levite cities and the Israelite cities, you can't take your own home, knock it down, and make it into a garden. We don't cut down on residential units, and this is before the Obama administration. Okay? All the, right? They're not letting them, they don't want them, they're criticizing them building thousands of new housing units. And Eretz Yisrael has to constantly be built up, you need homes. So you don't take a home and turn it into a garden. It just wouldn't be a good idea. It might be financially better for this guy, but they want to have homes all the time. Okay, now that we have discussed, so the first six halachas discuss the layout of the Kohanic Levite cities. Now we're going to go back to, well, what does stuff to do with what we've been talking about? We've been talking about selling homes, selling fields, redeeming, all that stuff. So we're going to see that the Kohanic Levite have a whole different rules than them. Because remember, the Kohanim, they don't really own any land. Remember, it was given to them. It's not like a patriarchal piece of land and things like that. They also don't work like regular people work, as we'll see in the end of the halachas. So now, Kohanim Levim, Shemachru Sada Misterim. What if a Kohen or Levi would be poor and have to sell his field from a sealed field that's in the city? It's in the outside 2,000 Amos area. Or a house in the walled city that they have in them. So, Ein Golim Kaseder Aseh. They don't redeem it like the order that has been mentioned in the last two chapters. This is the connection now, after this six halacha break, of what we're bringing back stuff beforehand. So what do they do? Ela Moichrin Hasados. They can sell their fields and also their homes, the commentator said. And even very close to Yovel. Okay, anytime. Remember we said before, you can't sell lands during the Yovel year. Remember we said you can't sell things during the Yovel year because the Yovel knocks it out. A field, you can't sell it at all during Yovel. So they can even do it mamish by the Yovel year. That's an exception. And they can redeem their fields right away, even though they sold it. And if they sanctify their field, you can even redeem it from Hektish after Yovel. And you can redeem the houses in the walled cities anytime you want. I feel like it comes even after many years, which is not like a regular Bate Choma. An eternal redemption it is for Levim. Levim can always redeem it at any time. So there's a whole bunch of different halachas that have, and they're not the same halachas as we learned before. Now we have an interesting scenario in halacha ches. Yisrael shiyoresh es avi imo Levi. Let's say you have a Yisrael who inherits from his maternal grandfather. The grandfather was a Levite, okay, and avi imo Levi, and now, so the father, that father died, the mother gets that, and now the mother married a Yisrael, and now they all die, and now this Yisrael child inherits his grandfather's Levite, original Levite city. So now it comes that Yisrael owns property in the Levite city. So now the question is, if he wants to sell his land now you can't move land, last time I checked. The land is in the Levite city, right? But now that Yisrael wants to sell. So what halacha will it have? We'll have the halacha of a Yisrael selling land, or we'll have the halacha of a Levi selling land. So he ramas areza goel kalavim. He redeems like a Levi redeems, like we learned in the previous halachas. Afal vishen Levi, even though it's not a Levi. Why? Here's the rule. Ho v'arim osara shalavim goel on, because cities and fields of Levim can be returned forever. Shedin ze toli, because it's a law of the area, below the not of the owners. In other words, this has a whole, it's never to preserve the, what do you want to call the environment of the Levite city. And therefore we keep the rules of that Levite city are the same no matter who's there. To not, so the redemption process is the same. It's a din of the land and not a din of the owner, as it were. And that's, so therefore it would be really to that Yisrael's benefit, because these laws are very beneficial to the Kohanim and Levim. Again, I guess as public servants, you know, we know, Paul, the public servants get a lot of fringe benefits, don't they? Because they're giving their lives over to work for the government.
They're giving their
careers for the government. So they're entitled to pensions and all kinds of things. So we got to treat the Kohanim and Levim, if they have to sell their lands, we got to make it easier for them to get their lands back. So we're going to keep that no matter who is the person. Now, but the reverse. Now let's say a Levi gets himself a piece of land that belongs to Yisrael and Shevet Shimon, or whatever, that's not a good example, Yehuda. Yeah. The Levi sure says Avi'im Yisrael, the Levi inherits from his maternal grandfather, and that original maternal grandfather was a Yisrael. Okay. So this land is in a tribal land, and it's not in Levite land, but Levite now owns it as inheritance. Goel ki Yisrael, he redeems like a Yisrael with more restrictions. For local and not a Levi. Shalom Nemar doesn't say Gulas Olam Tiel Alavim. It doesn't say it's an eternal redemption for the Levites. That's what it says, double negative. That's what it says is internal. Elabar Elavim, only by Levite cities, but not for a Levite. It's not a Levite halacha, but a Levite city halacha.
So it's consistent.
It always goes where the bylaws of that region are, and it goes by the land. Exactly. Yes, sir. So, but we're not leaving today till we finish the chapter. Just letting you know, could be here till 12 o'clock.
What are we doing tomorrow?
The next, that's not for the tape. I'll tell you afterwards.
So the question is, these Levite properties only apply biblically to the 48 cities that we had spoken about at the beginning of the chapter.
Even we don't got them now. We can't. 100%. None of these halachas are applicable.
But let's say we're in the time where the 48 Levite cities are in existence.
Yeah.
It only applies to the 48. If, let's say, a whole group of Levites move to a walled city and only Levites live in that walled city, it wasn't one of the designated ones by the
rabbis. It would not be a Levite city.
And therefore, it would be like Yisrael. It's just like Yisrael.
It's not likely ever going to have such a scenario because they wouldn't have the money for it.
Eventually
it wouldn't sustain itself because Shemitah would knock it out. Or it could be a city, not as lands. It's not a likely scenario. Theoretically, you're right, but I don't think.
Wouldn't that city be in one of the other times?
Yeah, but you could buy houses.
But all the Levite cities are
in the law of that time, which is
The houses is not a tribal law. Remember, after a year, if it's not, let's say a bunch of Levites came in a very bad year of famine. They go and buy out a whole shchuna in Yerushalayim. Because Levites had a lot of, they were wealthy Levites, and people couldn't redeem the houses in a year. So you have a whole city owned by the Levim forever. The houses.
Yeah.
Forever. Shemitah won't knock it out. Still will have the laws of Yisrael land. That's what it is. Because that's Yisrael land. It's not one of the designated Ore HaLevim.
Just ask.
Okay. Now that you see they get all these perks. So why do they get all these perks? Halacha Yud. Kol Shevet Levi Musarim Shal Yinchal BeYisrael. The entire tribe of Levi has been warned. There's a command that they're not allowed to inherit any land in Eretz Yisrael. However, the commentaries add any lands outside of Israel that are conquered by a Jewish king, they can inherit and they can get. As we'll see, other halachas will tell us about this, but that will not apply. But in Eretz Yisrael, they don't get any land. They're not allowed to get a portion of the loot when a war happens, the booty, and to get any of that stuff. In the time when they capture cities. Because the Torah says a few things. The Kohanim and the Levites and all of the tribe of Levi cannot get a portion, A, and B, a nachala, an inheritance with the Jews. Now, what's portion and what's inheritance? Chelek, a portion, means babiza of the booty. Venachlan, a portion, bar, it's in the land. That's what we see, that they can't get either one. V'cheinu Omer, it also is another pasuk, but artsam lo sinchom, in their land they cannot inherit. V'chelek liyabesokom, and a portion they don't get within them. And what's that referring to? Babiza, with the loot. Okay, so that, again, another pasuk of that. Uben Levi, what if a Ben Levi decides to take a part of the loot? Like he gets lashed, but that's only if he eats up the booty and it can't be returned.
So if it's cash,
but if he takes something and he hasn't, it's still around, we just take it back from him and he doesn't get lashed because we fixed up the mistake. And it's not the same as when you steal money from somebody. Even though, it seems when a person steals, for example, and then he uses the cash and spends it, he doesn't get lashed because he just pays back money. And you can fulfill the mitzvah of return what you stole. But with a booty, it doesn't work that way because if you eat it up, who do you give it back to?
You get a cow. You get a cow and you have a whole steak dinner.
Then he'd get lashed. Okay. V'im natal nachlavers, what if he takes a piece of land, decides to go into the tribal portion and go get himself a piece of land? Mavrinos menu, we throw him out. He doesn't get lashed because it doesn't work at all. Yudal, yearly it appears to me. All these halachas we just mentioned that they can't have, that's only in the land that was covenanted with a covenant to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and their children inherited and divided with them. That's where the prohibitions exist. Any other land that a Jewish king takes, conquers. They can get some of the land. They can get some of the loot. There's no problem. And the biggest proof is the Jewish war in the end of Sefer Midbar against the land, the country of Midian, where there was no promise on that. And the Levim got a part of the loot. So therefore we see that that was not Eretz Yisrael. They were able to get the loot. Yud Beis. Now we get to the good Musar coming up. How come the Yisrael Levis never merited to get a tribal portion land of Eretz Yisrael? And they never got the loot with their brothers. They've been separated to serve Hashem and to work for Hashem and to serve Him. And to teach His straight ways and His laws that are righteous to the multitudes. Remember, this is the main job of the Kohanim and Levim. It's not the twice a week working. Their job, we're educated twice a year, 2 weeks a year. Their main job is teaching Torah to the masses and developing their spiritual levels. Shenemar, as we said in last week's Parsha, Yaru Mishpatach Yaakov, they teach your laws to Yaakov, the Torah, and your Torah to the Jewish people, Israel. Therefore, they've been separated from the normal ways of life of the world. They don't go to battle like other Jews go to battle. Now, they may not have to go to battle, but they may be required, let's say, to provide supplies. That they may have to do. They may have to fix up some roads if it's very serious war conditions. But more than that, they don't do.
Non-combat.
Right. But it's not like dangerous kind of stuff. Also, they don't inherit land. They can't get anything through their own force of their hands. In other words, they don't work the land. They don't know any of that. Elohim Chel Hashem. They're the army of Hashem. Shenemar, as the pasuk again says, we just mentioned before, Beira Borech Hashem Chel Hashem should bless their might, their army. Vahu Baruchu Zochlem. And Hashem is the one who acquires on their behalf. He provides for them. I am your portion and your inheritance. So their job is to be focused on serving Hashem. The role models. So you see that Hashem, from day one, from the inception of the Jewish people, separated 1/12 of Klal Yisrael to never work, to sit and learn and teach Torah. And yeah, twice a year they do a little service in the temple. But it'll be about 95% of their time is spent teaching, learning Torah, being role models, and teaching it to the masses. Now, the famous Rambam, Yud Gimel, V'lo Shevet Levi Uvada, not only the tribe of Levi do we say this, Elo Kol Ish V'Ish Mikol Be'o Olam, each and every man from those who come into the world, Asher Nod V'Rucho, who has a philanthropic heart also, V'Avinu Madon, he understands intellectually, he bought Olam L'Vnei Hashem to separate himself and to stand before Hashem, L'Shor, so the servant will Avdo and to work for him, L'Deyas Hashem, to know Hashem, V'Holach Yoshen, to go straight, K'Moshe Oso L'Kim, like Hashem made him, U'Parak Me'al Tzavaro L'Chashbonos Ram, and he throws off the yoke of his neck, the calculations of the masses, Asher Bikshum them, which are asked from people. Notice, he wants to dedicate his life to being close to Hashem. Hareza niskadesh kodesh kadoshim. He has sanctified the holiest of holies. V'Hashem chalko v'nachlason. Hashem is his portion, his inheritance. L'yolam l'yolamim, forever and ever and ever. V'yiskalo, and Hashem will help him to merit, to acquire, b'olam hazeh, in this world, dover hamaspiklo, that which is enough for him. Hashem will make whatever he does, minimally, successful. As the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, people engaged in Torah, their possessions become successful. And whatever little work they do is blessed. Just like Hashem had acquired for the Kohen Levim, Hari David Olav Hashem Omer, for King David himself says, Hashem Menos Chalki, Hashem is my portion, V'chosi, and I yearn for it, Atotomich Gorili, and you support my lot. Now it's interesting, this Rambam would seem to be a bit at variance with a Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah that we learned many moons ago. Over there, the Rambam says you should not be sitting and learning Torah and cause the whole congregation that you would be living off of them from tzedakah money. So it seems to be a bit of a conflict in the Rambam, but the Kesef Mishnah over there, on the Rambam there, clearly argues on the Rambam, and he says, if we don't support those who are learning Torah, what will the future of Torah be? Will be forgotten? And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins know that they should be supported by the community. And so I think what the Rambam is saying is that you have to put all your trust in Hashem. You want to be this kind of guy, you have to put all your trust in Hashem. But that's in the other one. But here, how else would he do it? So the Rambam is saying, he says he casts off the yoke and all these things. He's willing to live on less. And he says Hashem will take care of him. So what I believe he's saying is Hashem will take care of them. And, you know, we can't force the community to support them. He doesn't become the tzedakah case. But you know what? They should inspire people to want to take care of them. You know, the Rambam over there is saying he doesn't cast himself on the community. Because he's saying, okay, guys, I'm not learning, you have to support me. No. He's saying, I'm learning Hashem's going to take care of me. And then Hashem will take care of him. How's Hashem going to take care of him? Well, Hashem will find a way. Could be a rich man will see the coin and want to give him something. Now, he's not throwing himself on the community. Well, there's many countless stories, as I mentioned, Mark Lazaro's, the guy he brought for that kollel, from in Yerushalayim, he said one story that there was one kollel guy who had to make a wedding. He didn't have any money for it at all. And he didn't know what to do. So what was he doing? He didn't know what to do. So how did he get ready for it? He was learning the base Spanish late at night. All of a sudden, I don't remember if it was an American Jew or whatever. He was driving by on the road. He got a flat tire. So he has to go in somewhere. So he goes to the Beis Medrash. He sees this guy's the only guy learning in the Beis Medrash. And the guy says, can you help me out? He says, well, what's the matter? I have a flat tire. So this guy happened to be a very handy fellow. He says, no problem. He changes the tire 1, 2, 3. And the guy says, so what do you do? He says, I don't do anything. And somehow the topic came ahead of the wedding. Guy writes him a check. $35,000 on the spot. And that's it. So he didn't thrust himself on the community. But Hashem took care of him. Or the story with the man with the shoes at the airport.
Remember the shoe story.
Right? So it's the same thing. In other words, Hashem will take care of them. So don't thrust yourself on the community, but the community will take care of it. Now the community, if they choose to want to support you, in other words, you can't force people to want to support your spiritual lifestyle. Quantum of aim is forced. It's not forced, but you want to be like one living gesunter, right? But you have to be willing to pay the price. And Hashem will provide means to protect you. Wow. That's the way the Rambam would learn it. The Beis Yosef disagrees with the Rambam before. He says, no, people have to support these people. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like the Rambam in this area. So we have to go a liba de hilchasa that you have to support them. And that's how it has to be. So therefore, people who are learning in Kolel, according to the Shulchan Aruch at least, we have an obligation to take care of them. Okay, shkoyach everybody. We finished,